This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
And good afternoon, everybody. Sorry to disappoint. I am not Scott Whatley. I am Dan Muir in for Scott Whatley. Uh-oh. Kurt Rogers is here with me. Welcome to Your Money Matters. Kurt, why are you shaking your head?
You're not Scott.
I'm not.
And you're not Dan. You're Lex.
I'm Lex.
We got to remember it. We have to call you Lex. Lex. Like Luther.
Lex Luther because of my great hairdo.
We love your lack of hair.
You know, I always tell people I'm busy. I got to shampoo my hair tonight.
That's right.
It's a really important things to do.
And they worry about you when you say that.
They do. They go, really? Yeah. Does he not know he's bald? No, he has no idea. He has no idea. Kurt, how are you, man?
I am doing just fine. The Broncos won. Can you believe that?
I can't.
First time in what? 5 years, first game of the season.
In September. They haven't won a game in September in 2 years.
They could be 3-0 here real soon at the current rate they're going.
They could be. I like Teddy Bridgewater.
I was just going to say, I'm going to bring up a name, and you tell me if he fits this individual, Fran Tarkington.
Yes.
Just a slippery little guy.
He is. It was a sad day when the Vikings let him go. When they let Teddy Bridgewater go, I was really sad. They let him go because he injured himself.
Well, he probably, to be honest, he could probably get injured because he keeps trying to get away, and one of these big linemen is going to get a hold of him.
If they can catch him.
If they can catch him.
So I'm actually excited to watch the Broncos because of Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
I like Teddy.
I also like some of the play call this last week. Three times they went for it on fourth down, and all three times they made it.
Love it. That's exciting football.
And it was one. It was 4th and 7, and I'm like, what are you guys doing?
What you guys smoking?
What's he throwing? 12 yards.
Yeah.
On a rope. Yeah, no, it was a fun game to watch.
He's fun. Yeah, I think you guys, as Bronco fans, you're going to be really happy with Teddy. It's going to be fun to watch.
We'll remember that, Lex.
Yes. Okay, so Kurt, this is Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage, and of course yourself, Kurt Rogers. And so, Kurt, I get all sorts of mailers, right? I do, seriously, mailers. And then you hear all these ads about, we can get you a house loan at, 0% interest and we can close in 15 minutes.
Yes.
No. Can you?
Well, I'm not going to tell you that anybody that's advertising is telling you a lie.
Okay, that's fair.
Well, first of all, you can't close in 15 minutes. The minimum you can close is 10 days.
Okay.
That's federal law. From the time you start and get your loan estimate to the time you close, it has to be 10 business days. Sundays don't count as a business day.
Okay.
So if somebody's saying they're closing faster than that, there's a little bit of a fudge.
Okay.
But advertising, if you watch it, it's all designed to get you to make the phone call. It's not necessarily designed to sell you what they're trying to present. I get the same number of flyers in the mail, and I look at them, and I actually keep them. I got a little library of them now. And, they'll tell me, well, you can get this rate of 1.75 with no closing cost. And then when I flip over that little flyer and I read in the back in that nice little fine print, it will come up and it will say, well, there's no closing cost, but we got 3 points in discount fee you have to pay. And then 2 points in origination fee you have to pay. Now, they're not classifying that as closing cost because that's how you get to the rate. They want closing costs to be title fees, appraisal fee, things like that. But to the average consumer, when you think of no closing cost, you're thinking of, if I owe $212,000, anything above $212,000 is closing cost, right?
Yeah.
It's not how they look at it. Oh. The law doesn't look at it that way.
Okay.
So some of these things are not closing costs, like escrows. It is, the main thing is if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. You need to read the fine print. They sent me one the other day on a $400,000. This was really cute. We will give you 1.75 on the loan.
Okay.
And your points are 3%. And your loan has to be in excess of $350,000. My loan was $325,000. So I'm thinking to myself, I have to be above $350,000, which now means I have cash out because I'm not just paying off my mortgage.
Right.
I'm not going to get that knowing that loan. But the customer doesn't know that if you have cash out, the rate goes up because the risk is higher.
That. Right.
So, yeah, there's so many little quirks that they put in them back pages. If it sounds too good to be true, it more than likely is.
Who was that back in the day? Was it George Foreman? I'm not going to pay too much for this muffler. So I'm not going to pay too much for this mortgage. No, that's what people are thinking.
One of the things when you're looking at a mortgage, we strongly suggest you shop. There's three main factors that come into play. How much am I borrowing?
Right.
What is my principal and interest payment? And am I bringing cash or am I getting cash at the close? If you compare those three items, you'll find the best loan for you. Because everything gets built into those three items. How much am I financing? What is my principal and interest payment? You care less about the rate because it's going to come out to you and how much cash am I bringing to the close?
Right.
Or what did they do to the loan amount?
Makes total sense.
Those three items will always put you on track for the best loan for you.
So, Kurt, in reality, I'm just asking you, are there really such things as no commission? And are there really such things as no closing costs? I mean, aren't they all kind of built in somewhere anyway? I mean, the loan officer has to get paid. And there's always going to be, you know, like our guest here with Integrity Appraisals. There's always going to be an appraisal.
Yeah, he works for free, by the way. When you say no closing. Sure.
Well, look at him.
Our
he's
friend
starving
Alan,
to death.
He's going to work for free.
Yeah, he's starving to death. I mean, he hardly has any clothes to wear. I mean, the guy. Did you have to walk here, Alan?
I did.
See? I mean, because there are no closing costs.
Right. And again, we go back to closing costs. You can take closing costs. Average closing costs can run, depending on the loan, anywhere from $2,000 to, let's say, $4,000. The law states that you have to disclose the cost of the loan, whether you're paying it or not.
Okay.
So if somebody says no closing costs, what they're doing is they're going to raise the rate to have the lender pay for those costs.
Okay.
So there's none to you, but there is to you. You're paying for them as what I call the back door instead of the front door.
Mm-hmm. So like our good friend John Rush always says, there's no free lunch.
There is no free lunch.
There's no free lunch.
I mean, when you're looking at a loan, the title company is going to work for free?
No.
Okay. Just because they like us?
No.
Or they like you, the appraiser is going to work for free? The underwriter is going to work for free?
No.
No.
They all got to get paid. Like you do as a person when you go to work.
Right.
So how many people do you know that want a home loan that go to work for free?
None.
No. Everybody gets paid.
Well, actually, you can actually make more money if you don't go to work nowadays. Well, I'm sorry. They stopped that.
They did finally.
They finally stopped
that. Wow, that was crazy.
It was crazy.
It was absolutely crazy. So Kurt, once again, if people want some honest, you know, I like the word integrity. If they want somebody to give them an honest look at what either a refi or a mortgage is going to cost.
They can give us a call at 720-895-0500. You tell us what you're looking for. We'll tell you what we can do for you. If it works for you, great. We're not going to lead you down a path. We don't charge origination points 99% of the time or discount points because most people don't want to pay them to get the best rate. We're just going to treat you straight up front, tell you what it is. If it works, great. If it doesn't, it's okay.
And the other thing too, Kurt, that I found, it's really, really important for the consumer, the person looking for the loan, to be incredibly honest as to where they are financially because
the bank will find out.
They're
going to
find
me.
Out.
I've had people that own property, and what's that say you live in?
Minnesota,
yeah. You know, they'll own land and and they might owe $100,000 on it and they never tell us.
No,
but the bank
finds
out about it.
That's in Minnesota. That's not going to come.
Forget that payment. Yeah. They're going to find out.
They're going to find out everything.
They have all kinds of systems to be able to find that out.
Yes. So don't lie. Don't try
just
to hide something.
Front.
Just be upfront and honest and it'll all work out.
You are correct.
Perfect. And once again, Kurt, that phone number.
720-895-0500.
Okay. AIMortgage.net.
AIMortgage.net.
All right. So, Kurt.
I'll get the email. I'll get the phone call. I'll do what I can to help.
You will. I know you will. So, Kurt, why don't you introduce our guest?
My guest is Alan Tuckfeld. He's been an appraiser that I used to specifically send loans to years ago, but that changed.
Okay.
And he's been in the business how long, Alan?
Total about 22 years.
Okay. Explain, because your first time on the show, explain to people how you got into becoming a real estate appraiser.
Okay. Well, I was born and raised in New York City.
We won't hold that against you.
To make matters even worse, I'm a diehard Yankee fan. Oh, I was born three blocks from Yankee Stadium.
Hold it 1 second. Charlie, can we put in a best of now? So we just can't continue with this. This is terrible. No, go ahead. Go ahead, Alan.
And moved out here in 1979. I was teaching back in New York and decided just to come out to Colorado just to kind of check it out. Beautiful place to live.
It is, isn't it?
Cost of living was a quarter of what I was paying back in New York. So I came out here, visited, fell in love with the state, decided to continue teaching, but then met a guy who was in the mortgage business and we compared literally W-2s, what I was making versus what he was paying in federal tax, and it was like, wow. So he got me into the mortgage business.
You mean teachers didn't pay any?
Teachers paid, but like you were saying, you know, you have to get paid for what you do, but it's not nearly
not
enough.
As a teacher.
Not nearly enough. So got into the mortgage business as a loan officer, working on a commission basis. Did that for about 15 years. Along the way, I met an appraiser who was doing appraisals for me, and we became very, very good friends. And eventually he needed appraisal help, and I got tired doing mortgages. So he said, why don't you become an appraiser? And I said, great. How do I do that?
Yeah. What do I do?
He said, well, you have to kind of go to school and take some real estate classes. And you also have to be mentored for about 2,000 hours, which translates to about 2 years. So I worked under him for about 2 years and got my appraiser's license. Worked with him, with his company for about 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years. And then things changed with his company to where instead of having employees, he wanted independent contractors. So he basically released all of us into the market area. And I went ahead and started Integrity Appraisal Services. You mentioned Integrity before. That was one of the reasons why I decided on Integrity Appraisal Services. In any event, started that in 2002, and I have a little funny story about that as well, if it's okay to share.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, absolutely.
I had a midlife crisis and decided to start riding a motorcycle, and was very surprised that my wife even said it's okay for me to ride a motorcycle. But went to, on Christmas Eve of 2002, to church. In fact, Kurt and I go to the same church. That's how we met. And both Kurt and I do parking at the church. And this was Christmas Eve day, and it was a beautiful day, so I rode my motorcycle.
Okay.
And first service was over. Second service was parked, so I was ready to go home. And we were going to my brother-in-law's house for Christmas Eve dinner. Came out of the parking lot, and it was dark at that time. Hit some gravel. Going 10 miles an hour, my bike went out from under me, and I broke my leg. So we decided to have Christmas Eve dinner at the hospital with the entire family. And my wife, Kathy, basically said, you're done riding a motorcycle.
Was that like your first time to ride?
I was riding for about 6 months when that
six
happened.
6 months, okay.
So yeah. Definitely a newbie. Definitely didn't know you don't ride in December when it's dark out because you just can't see gravel.
Can't see anything.
So it was a learning experience. But in any event, I had a brand new company to start. So January 1st, literally, we started Integrity Appraisal Services. And at that time, I was getting business from mortgage companies. They were my client. So I had to go out to solicit business on crutches to mortgage companies, basically saying, let me do your appraisals. And they're looking at me like I'm out of my mind because I'm on crutches. How are you going to do inspections?
Yeah, how are you going to climb up into the attic?
Yeah, exactly, right? The attic.
So we got through it. My wife drove me to different companies, and they finally, one said, you know what? We're going to give you a shot. And literally, I had a next-door neighbor who went out with me to do the inspection. He would do whatever we needed to do, and I would be at the house just so I could say I was at the house. And went inside and kind of looked around a little bit. But we got through it, and that's how we started Integrity Appraisals.
Oh, that's fantastic. What a great story. So we got to take a break here coming up. So what I'd like to talk about next is this is one of the questions that I think a lot of people have, especially novices like me. So what is the, answer this when we get back from the break, what is the difference between a home inspector and an appraiser?
Oh, okay.
Because to me, it'd be the same thing. I don't know. It's got to be different.
Not even close.
No. Okay, you are listening to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage and Kurt Rogers. And, of course, if you want to get a hold of Kurt Rogers, it's 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net. I'm your host, Dan Muir. We'll be right back.
Now's the time to get into the outdoorsman's attic. Hey, this is Scott Whatley, and you've heard me say many times, this is one of my favorite stores. The Outdoorsman's Attic's selection is incredible right now for all of your camping, hunting, and fishing needs. Just a few items to mention, all backpacks are 10% off, sleeping bags 20%, and Sitka gear 40% off of retail. They also have great deals on firearms and also tons of fishing gear down in the basement. And if your firearms need a little work or cleaning, see Scott the Gunsmith and tell him we sent you. It's the Outdoorsman's Attic. It's Colorado's premier outdoor consignment store for the outdoors. They're located at 2650 West Hamden. Tell them Scott sent you.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
When it comes to customer service, D&D Tire takes it to the next level. Yes, you will receive great customer service from this family-owned company, but there is a difference when you add customer care. You see, at D&D Tire, they care about your safety and your car, and they understand mechanical problems, tire replacement, or flat tires never come at a convenient time. But at each of the D&D Tire locations, two in Aurora and one in Parker, you will find a courteous staff and technicians that have the knowledge and experience to take care of all of your automotive needs. Right now, buy four qualifying tires and rebates are up to $150 when using your Goodyear credit card, subject to credit approval. And terms and conditions apply. D&D Tire Service, your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. Check them out at dndtireservice.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Alrighty, everybody, welcome back to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Kurt Rogers and Affordable Interest Mortgage. And our guest today is Alan Tuckfield, and he is with Integrity Appraisal Services. And you can find out more about Integrity Appraisal Services by going to integrityappraisalservicesonline.net, or you can give them a call at 303-877-8287. Now, Kurt, when we went to break, I said, I got to know the difference between this real quick.
Go ahead.
What's the difference between a home inspector and an appraiser?
That's a great question. And a lot of people get that confused even when I'm doing an appraisal. A home inspector is basically looking at the mechanical aspects of a home. They want to make sure that the roof is in good condition, all the utilities, you know, electrical, plumbing, all the systems are working correctly. They will probably check out each outlet of the house. They'll probably open and close all the doors, all the windows. They're gonna literally get into the attic. If there's a crawl space, they're literally gonna get into the crawl space. They're gonna check foundation. So more of the mechanical things of a home. Whereas an appraiser is more interested in establishing a value of a home. And what goes into establishing value is basically what the subject property has or doesn't have in terms of any updating, upgrading, overall condition, things of that nature. So that's really the major difference between a home inspector and a real estate appraiser.
So just real quick, Kurt, then, is it a good idea to have both done if you're trying to buy a house?
If you're buying a house, I strongly recommend you have the inspection and the appraisal.
Okay.
You want the inspection first. You don't want to do the appraisal, then the inspection, because they may appraise it, and the inspector comes in and says, well, we got these problems, and there's $10,000 in sewer lines we got to fix.
Ooh.
They've already paid for the appraisal. So you want to get the inspection done before you do the appraisal, because if there's an inspection issue, you get it fixed before the appraiser comes out.
Ah, got it. Okay, that makes total sense. Okay, so Kurt, now you had a question.
I wanted to do a little follow-up. Okay. You had talked about you would go to mortgage brokers. back around early 2010, 11, and 12, there was a change. And I know what it is, but I think the consumers need to understand what changed so drastically in that time frame on how you got it obtained an appraisal and who you went through to get it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, back in that time period, and obviously before then, there were some situations where there were some unscrupulous members of the real estate community, realtors, lenders, and appraisers.
Right.
And what was going on basically was mortgage companies would be strongly requesting, I'm choosing my words very carefully, obviously, strongly requesting appraisers to come up to a certain value. And if the appraiser did not come up to that value, the lenders were basically saying, we're not going to use you anymore. So it was really being...
either appraise it or don't get paid.
Or don't get any future work.
That's right.
And so there was some strong-arming, I guess is the best way of putting it, going on at that time. And unfortunately, there were some appraisers that gave into that situation. Thank goodness, most of them, if not all of them, are no longer in the business for whatever reason. But that was going on. The government... being the government, decided that they were going to intervene and create an entity called an appraisal management company. Some people refer to them as AMCs. It's not the movie theater AMC. It's the appraisal.
No popcorn, huh?
No popcorn, you know, no gigantic sodas or anything like that. So the appraisal management companies came about. And what they are, basically, they're an intermediary between you as the lender, Kurt, and me as the appraiser. So John Doe wants him to get a mortgage for whatever reason. John contacts you at Affordable Interest Mortgage. You, in turn, obviously need to get an appraisal done. You'll contact XYZ Company, which is an appraisal management
AMC.
Company. And the appraisal management company will then contact me to do the appraisal. Now, the appraisal management companies can be local, they can be national. They can have 5, they can have 100 appraisers on their appraisal panel. So basically, it's whoever is next up on their list to go ahead and assign the appraisal to. The concern that comes up with that, which has kind of gone away over the last couple of years, but in the beginning, the concern with that is you may have an appraiser from Colorado Springs needing to do an appraisal in Fort Collins.
Right.
Well,
yes.
One of the things that, as an appraiser, we have to sign a series of certifications on the appraisal report. And one of those certifications is that we have competency in the area that we're doing an appraisal. Well, if I'm in Colorado Springs and I need to do an appraisal up in Fort Collins, the likelihood of my competency being there is pretty remote. That pretty much has gone away now, where appraisal management companies are selecting.
They'll send it to the appraisers that are about 5 miles within of that.
Within a certain market area. So that situation has really gone away, thank goodness, for all of us. But that's basically what happened.
So now, one of the other things that many people don't understand about appraisers is, as a mortgage broker, as a lender, we have no right to talk to you. The only conversations you can really have to kind of, because the government's kind of afraid that as brokers and lenders, we might try to intimidate the value. So they've really made strong language saying you really can't do that. Explain that a bit.
Sure. And again, that goes back to, or the rationale behind that goes back to what I was saying before, where lenders were trying to strong-arm appraisers into coming up to a value and all that. Technically, that's really not true, where you can't talk to an appraiser. At least as far as I'm concerned, you can talk to me anytime you want. The only thing that we are not going to talk about is value. You may want to know how I came up with a particular value, and I can certainly refer you to the appraisal report, which you have anyway,
right,
as to how I determined a certain adjustment here and there, or why did I use a certain property as a comparable property. But as far as pressuring me into changing my value just because you need a higher value, that conversation would not happen.
Okay. Now the question becomes, and this will probably go past our break, but when you're appraising a property, how do you come up with the value? What are some of the requirements that you have to abide by? And then how do you determine the value? What are some of the parameters you have to fit into?
Great question. And I get that question a lot when, especially I'm doing a refinance or an appraisal for a refinance, which, by the way, I need to make sure everybody understands. There should not be any difference in how an appraisal is done between a purchase transaction and a refinance. Appraisal should be done exactly the same way, regardless of whether you're buying the property or you're refinancing it. But to answer your question, I basically respond by saying it's your neighbors that are telling me what the value of your property is. The best comp that I could possibly have is the house right next door to yours, having the same square footage, having the same amount of updating, upgrading, same condition, that closed an hour ago. That's the best comp that I could possibly have. Obviously, that's not viable. I wish it was, but
very
not viable.
Very unlikely.
Very unlikely, let's put it that way. So what we do is we do look at comparable properties within a certain parameter of your neighborhood, what we call market area. We would like to have something that's similar style, ranches, two stories, tri-levels.
Right.
We'd like to have something that has similar square footage to the subject property. We would like to have something that has similar updates, upgrades, condition, as I said, to the subject property, that close within preferably the last 30 days. And in this market, it's not that difficult to find. We can even go out to 90 days if we have to. We can even go out to 120 days if we have to. But the idea is to find something that is very, very similar to the subject property. There are times that if we don't have something that's extremely similar, we have to make adjustments. Adjustments can be differences in condition, type of upgrading that's been done to the subject.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what about that oddball house that's in the neighborhood, the one that's either like twice the size of everybody else's house or the one that's like half the size of everybody else's house? How does that fit in when you're trying to find comps when we got that one oddball house in the area?
The terminology is over improvement for the area.
Okay.
And if that's the case, then we sometimes have to look outside the subject's market area. It makes it more difficult because, again, we have to use comparable properties to establish a value of this particular property, this particular house. But if nothing exists in the immediate area, then we would have to expand the search into different market areas. Because somebody that's wanting to buy that particular type of property is going to be looking not so much for the subject's area. They're going to be looking for a type of property that fits that mold. And they may be willing to go 10, 15 miles away to find that particular type of property. It's rare, but it does happen.
You brought up a good point. I don't know that the listeners actually caught on what you said. You said when you're doing comps, you're looking at homes that have sold within a period of time, within a period of distance. So you're using the word homes that are sold. I will hear sometimes from clients, well, my neighbor just had their house appraised for X. Mine's coming in less. That appraisal on a refinance for the neighbor has nothing to do with how you come up with a comp, correct? It's only on homes that are sold and closed.
Well, Yes.
Because you don't necessarily know the value of the neighbor, what they got their home appraised for when they did their refinance. You don't know that.
That is correct.
But you do know what the homes are selling for.
That is correct.
So you can't necessarily go by those values.
And unfortunately, along those lines, not knowing what that appraiser looked at when that appraiser did the appraisal for that property.
Correct.
I have no idea how valid that appraisal is. I've done lots of reviews of appraisers' work, and sometimes I just shake my head saying, you have comparables, let's say for a condominium project, you have comparables in that project, and yet they ignore those and they go to an outside project.
To get more.
To get of higher value, so to speak. And it's like, you can't do that. If you have comparables in the project that are viable, you need to use those.
Yeah.
So
I have more questions, but we'll take a break.
Okay, let's do that. And then when we get back, one of the things we'll talk about when we get back is that, who is your actual client? Who are you actually working for? And then that also brings up some other questions I've got, like, can I hire you? And why would I need to? Right? So you're listening to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage and Kurt Rogers. Our guest is Alan Tuckfield. He is with Integrity Appraisal Services. And you can find out more about Integrity Appraisal Services by going to integrityappraisalservicesonline.net or 303-877-8287. I'm your host, Dan Muir. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Chris Kane with 303roofer.com. If you're looking to put on a new roof because of hail, give us a call at 303-390-1382. We'll give you a cash price, which means you'll most likely get to keep some of your insurance money instead of giving it to us. It's your money, we know that, and we'll price the work accordingly. So give us a call today, 303-390-1382, or go to our website, 303roofer.com.
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are, what are their feelings. I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishon of Householder Group, 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Hey, Dan, you know, our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer, you're an attorney, and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
AM 560, KLZ, your home station.
Alrighty, everybody. Welcome back to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage and Kurt Rogers. Our guest is Alan Tuckfield. He's with Integrity Appraisal Services, and you can get a hold of him at 303-877-8287. I guess that kind of brings up the question is, why would I want to get a hold of you, Alan? Because it sounds like that everything's done through, you know, this AMC thing, or through, through Kurt has to call them or whatever. So why would I want to get hold of you?
Well, other than being just a nice guy and wanting to talk and all that kind of stuff, there are different reasons why somebody may need an appraisal.
Okay.
Obviously, most of the time it's because somebody's getting a loan and the lender wants to make sure that the house is worth what they're going to be lending on.
Sure.
Putting that aside for a moment, people have personal needs for appraisals. Unfortunately, divorce situations come up where one party needs to have an appraisal done, or maybe both parties need to have an appraisal done, so they want to determine the value in the settlement. There could be an estate settlement that needs to come up. So because of that, they'll hire an appraiser. excuse me. Usually it's more of a personal reason than just because of, you know, getting a loan.
We're going to get into the cost difference between you doing it on your own for those reasons versus your cost doesn't change, but it does if you go through an AMC. But we'll get into that in a second, because I had another question I wanted to ask you about. When you're doing an appraisal, sometimes individuals that are trying to sell their house, they will not make the option of FHA loans available to the consumer. And one of the reasons we hear that is that they say that FHA appraisals are much, much tougher. And that's a belief by a lot of agents. And the agent's more concerned with the home just being sold and closed. Is there a difference when you're appraising a home that that really comes into matter on the difference between an FHA appraisal and a standard conventional appraisal?
Okay. When I'm doing an appraisal, the actual inspection of the house, there's really no difference. I look at the exact same things when I'm doing it for a conventional loan or for an FHA loan. The major difference in terms of the inspection is that on FHA, I have to, at least head and shoulders wise, put my head up into the attic and take a picture. If there's a crawl space, I have to at least get into the crawl space and take a picture. So that's an FHA requirement that has to be done on FHA, on every FHA appraisal, whereas it does not have to be done on conventional. The other thing that FHA is probably more concerned about than on a conventional appraisal is any health and safety issues. However, if there's any health and safety issue on an appraisal that I'm doing, I do call them out in the report.
Right.
Like if there's a broken window, I need to make sure that, you know, it's noted in the appraisal report, and that if it's FHA, it's a requirement that that broken window be repaired.
Or water spots in the ceiling.
Things of that nature, because there could be water damage, which could lead to mold, which could lead to all kinds of things. Whereas on a conventional, I'll point them out as well, put them into the report, and then it's usually up to the lender as to whether or not that particular item is going to need to be repaired or replaced or whatever. So, yes, FHA is a little bit tougher. If you want to use that word, they have a little bit more of a requirement that these things to be done.
But the inspection is the
same. But the inspection is exactly the same.
Okay, now, from those, you go to jumbo. Jumbos are a certain dollar amount, and in most cases, that's over $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the cost of it so much higher? I already know the answer, but why is the cost for a jumbo, and why do you think some lenders require two appraisals once you exceed the $1 million value?
Well, there's more liability, if you will, on the lender's standpoint when you're dealing with that type of money situation. So, you know, as far as the two appraisal scenario is concerned, they want to make sure that the value of that property is being supported by documentation from an unbiased individual, somebody that doesn't have any skin in the game, so to speak. As far as the cost of the appraisal, is that what you're referring to?
The lender's going to require two appraisals, so there's two costs.
Right.
The actual fee, for example, if you go up into the mountains to do an appraisal because of distance or size of home, there's extra fees for that.
Right.
Same thing with the value of if you're doing a jumbo, that's normally a home that's 5,000, 8,000 square feet, so it's much bigger.
Right. So there's more. The inspection time frame, first of all, is going to take a lot longer to do an appraisal inspection on a 5,000 square foot house than a 1,000 square foot house.
Right.
So just time at the property is going to be more prevalent. The other reason is, you kind of mentioned it, research. It's going to take longer to make sure that the research that's being done and the time frame of that research that takes place to do the appropriate type of research is going to take longer as well. So again, it's the time spent on doing that report. You mentioned something about going up into the mountains. Well, I could do maybe two or three appraisals here in the Metro Denver area in a day, just to do the actual inspections. If I go, and then that includes driving the comparables and taking pictures and all that. If I go up into the mountains, that's my day. So I'm only doing one appraisal
versus
up
two or
in,
three.
In the mountains versus doing two or three down here. So again, it's a time factor.
And with something remote like the mountains, once you then have, you know, more research to do to try to find the comps, to try to find the, especially if it's like out in the woods somewhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, it's a time factor. It's the research amount. It's the driving up and back. It's the driving around up there, because comparable properties are not right next door like in Highlands Ranch. They're maybe 3, 4, 5 miles away from each other.
So as a homeowner, what can I do to help with the appraisal, to help you, to help the appraisal come in maybe where I want it to come in?
Great question. The more information about what you've done to the house, the better job I can do. If you've done significant updating, upgrading to the property, if you can give me a list of those items, the time frame that it was done, and really the cost involved. Not that you're going to get back dollar for dollar what you've put in, but at least gives me the ability to be able to evaluate that. The other thing too, lenders like to see in black and white what's been done. Now I'll go ahead and do a narrative in the report as to what's been done. I'll back that up with pictures as to what's been done. But I also include a list of those items that the homeowner has given me in the report as well. So the lender, the underwriter, can see in black and white from the homeowner.
So then I would think it's a really good idea to make sure you keep all those records together. So can they present those to you then? It's like, here's
I don't need specific.
Or leave them on the kitchen counter?
That's a great idea. I don't need specific invoices.
Yeah.
But again, if just formulate a list of upgraded kitchen, cabinetry, countertops, quartz countertops, granite countertops in June of 2012. So that way I have, and it costs $15,000.
A new roof in 2019.
Exactly.
Like when we did our house, we put more insulation in the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And we had it all sealed. You can go up there and you can spray it. When we had our home appraised, we told the appraiser that. Right. And when he popped his head up, he saw that because it was a step up.
Right.
And that helped. He put it in the appraisal.
Right. And again, there things need to be divided between update and upgrade versus overall condition. So the things that you just mentioned, as far as a new roof is concerned, that goes more towards condition than it would be upgrade.
Right.
Upgrade is more, instead of having the vanilla type of cabinetry in the kitchen, you've now put in raised panel, cherry designer cabinetry. Instead of having just a plain Formica countertop, you've now put in 3-inch quartz beveled countertops. Those are upgrades. Painting of a house is not really an upgrade. Painting is really a condition. I don't want to use the word upgrade, but it's condition change. It's made it a better condition. Okay,
so it gives a better appearance.
So you bring up painting. I got to ask you this. Uh-oh. So if people have got crazy colors inside the house.
I love it.
Do you? Does that affect the value, though? Because
no.
Doesn't it? Okay.
No.
I'll tell you why,
and that's a great question.
How about 1973 shag carpeting?
It depends. If it's retro, if the whole house is
if you
retro.
Got beanbag chairs and the little round circular chairs and stuff.
And if you have the water
shag
bed.
Shag lights.
And if you have the water bed in the master bedroom, that's fabulous, too.
Okay.
No, but I always tell people, you know, people need to live in their homes.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants to do what you just suggested and do everything retro, that's great. Doesn't necessarily mean you need to get more value or less value. It just means that that's what you want to do for your living area. So it has no effect on me. The other thing, too, is I don't know what the next person, if they wanted to buy your house, what they'd be willing to pay for.
So you really try to keep personal taste out of it.
Have to.
That's interesting.
Have to.
Yeah, because what you're basically, he looks at it is he wants a blank screen. if he takes all the furniture out, how's the house look?
And the other thing, too, is I have to be unbiased.
Yeah.
I have to walk into a house and I don't care what color the walls are. I don't care what color the floors are. I just need to, like Kurt said, blank screen.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, oh, I love lime green. I love it.
There is one thing I want to mention, though, yeah. When we talked about updating and upgrading and all that. And this is really very important. Carbon monoxide detectors and smoke detectors need to be installed in every home within 15 feet of any sleeping area. That's a state requirement.
Okay.
That came out about 7 or 8 years ago, maybe even longer. And the reason for that, there was a couple, I believe up in Aspen, that was sleeping, and the entire family passed away from carbon monoxide poisoning. So the state came in and said, that can't happen again. So every house within 15 feet of any sleeping area must have a carbon monoxide detector.
That is really good to know, because maybe some of these older homes don't.
And a lot of times I'll go into a home, especially when I'm doing a purchase transaction, and for whatever reason, it's not there. So if I go into a house and there's no carbon monoxide detector and or smoke detector, I have to make that a requirement of the appraisal report, which means I have to go back out when it's installed to make sure that it is installed, which then means I get an extra fee to go back out to do that.
Yeah.
So to keep a cost down.
You have it done ahead of time.
And from a safety standpoint, you really need to have that.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. When we get back, I want to talk to both of you about what's going on in the current market regarding homes, values, prices. Is it still as insane as it has been? All right. So you're listening to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage and Kurt Rogers. And again, you can get a hold of Kurt at 720-895-0500. Our guest is Alan Tuckfield with Integrity Appraisal Services. And you can get a hold of him at 303-877-8287. And we'll be right back.
Have you been thinking about a new pair of glasses? Maybe some prescription sunglasses? Well, look no further than Stack Optical. Since 1968, yes, you heard me right, since 1968, Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their patients. This family-owned business is proud to be one of the few optical offices that has their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Stack Optical, located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway, features the most extensive lines of eyeglass frames, sunglasses, and contact lenses to ensure that you love your appearance and experience superior comfort. Our comprehensive eye exams proactively diagnose eye conditions and diseases while providing the most accurate vision care. We welcome you to experience a lifetime of superior ocular care from doctors that are devoted to your eye health. Call now for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Some skills you only develop through practice. In October of this year, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law celebrates 25 years defending both civil and criminal cases. He has earned the tagline, trial tested, trial ready. In civil cases such as personal injury, your attorney has the burden of proof to persuade a jury that you deserve a certain sum of money in return for your pain and suffering. However, because only a small percentage of personal injury cases go to trial, most personal injury attorneys do not spend much time in the courtroom over the course of their careers. Kevin Flesh stands apart from the rest because he represents both criminal and civil cases. After an estimated couple hundred jury trials, Kevin has learned how a jury reacts to evidence. He knows how to gauge how much money a jury will likely award in your case. Trial tested, trial ready for 25 years. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Call now for a free consultation. 303-806-8886.
For years now, you've heard me talk about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and yes, for almost 20 years, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has been taking care of our pets. From medical, grooming, boarding, and even training, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is your one stop for all of your pets' needs. Not only is their facility state-of-the-art, but now you can download the free Lone Tree Vet app and visit their online store for your pet products and pharmacy needs. You can also have your very own pet portal. Plus, don't forget to read their blogs at LoneTreeVet.com. Do you take your dog on hikes? Check out Hiking the Trail Safely with Your Dog. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Call today, 303-708-8050, or check them out, LoneTreeVet.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Alrighty, everybody, welcome back to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Kurt Rogers and Affordable Interest Mortgage. And again, you can get a hold of Kurt at 720-895-0500. And okay, guys, so when we went to break, I just had to know, since both of you guys are in this market, you know, is this market still crazy, insane? Like, there, people are bidding houses up $100,000 more than they're worth, and our houses being sold in, you know, 15 minutes and all that.
I
kind
don't
of
think
stuff.
They're 100 anymore. I think they're 75.
They're not quite as strong,
but yeah. Go ahead, Alan.
I would tend to agree. Most of the market areas are just crazy.
Still crazy
after all these years.
And he brought up a great question, because I want to follow it up with another one. When you're looking at an appraisal, because people will say the house next door just sold for $675,000 and you're only putting $625,000 in mine. When you're looking at an appraisal, you get a copy on a purchase agreement. You get a copy of the purchase contract. So you know the target number that the seller is asking for. But you're not controlled by that. You're controlled by the comps that are in the neighborhood, because there's a time frame. I think you know where I'm going with this. Because people are complaining, well, the value's up there. They're going for higher, so my value should be. Why is that not happening? Because you're controlled by USPAP, which is the regulation. Explain how that works.
Okay. USPAP basically stands for Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice. It's basically the appraiser's Bible. And there are things in there that dictate how, from an ethical standpoint, we have to operate our profession. To try to answer your question, one of the things that, as an appraiser, I have to make sure about is that I'm completely unbiased in doing an appraisal. I have to go into doing an appraisal inspection without having any preconceived notion of what a property is worth. The problem with that is I'm required by USPAP to basically go ahead and look at a purchase contract if the property is being purchased.
So,
which means there's already
a preconceived value.
A preconceived value in that contract.
Yeah.
So as much as I really, really, really try, I still have in black and white a number, right? So when Wick,
do you ever look at that number and go, oh boy?
headaches abound. Trust me, migraines are just crazy.
My.
But in any event, when we come up with that situation where my appraisal comes in at for whatever number you gave,
$675,000,
and the house next door sold for $700,000, whatever it was. Why is there a difference? Well, first of all, the house next door may not be the same as the house that I'm doing the appraisal on. As I said before, it has to be comparable. Size, condition, upgrades, things of that nature. The other thing, too, again, is I have no idea how that appraiser came up with whatever value that appraiser came up with. So I have no idea what would happen there. However, there have been times where a client, which I think we'll talk about in a moment who the client is, feels that the value should be higher than my appraisal. So that individual, that entity, can request a reconsideration of value.
Correct.
They can go through certain steps to go ahead and request that.
But when you're appraising that house, one of the things you have to look at is homes that have previously sold.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you have one at 700 mm-hmm. and all of these are running 600, that doesn't mean because the new one's being asked for 700 that they're going to get it.
Correct.
Just because somebody decided to pay $50,000 to $100,000 over doesn't mean that whole neighborhood is now worth $50,000 to $100,000
over. Absolutely.
And we hear that all the time from the customers. And right. You brought up a good point about reconsideration of value.
Right.
So they can submit for that. But sometimes that doesn't work because you have to be able to prove, if I'm correct, the value's been established prior to that by other comps that have already closed, not the most recent. It helps, but it's not right. the determining factor.
And again, you know, we throw out the terminology comps. That particular house may not be a true comparable property. The house that I'm appraising is 2,500 square feet. The house that sold for $25,000 more was 2,900 square feet. The subject property that I'm doing had regular type of countertops and didn't have any updates or upgrades. The house next door was fully updated, upgraded. So there's, again, it may not be a true comparable property, even though it's right next door.
Yeah. And it's kind of hard to get that value because they're moving so fast, values can't catch up.
But what is happening, though, is the use of what we call time adjustments. Not to get into the thick of things, but if a house sold 5 months ago and it's a good comparable to use, other than the fact it sold 5 months ago, I can do what we call a time adjustment to where value increasing percentage is used from the time that particular property sold till now, which would increase that particular value.
I think we have a lot more questions.
There's a lot more, but we're
running out of time.
We're out of show, Kurt. Do you have to say anything, Kurt?
Just that I enjoy doing the show with you,
good.
Lex.
I love that. Sometimes I never know if you got to do the spiel or not. So, okay. So, and that'll wrap it up for Your Money Matters. And thank you, Alan Tuckfield from Integrity Appraisal Services. And of course, thank you, Kurt Rogers from Affordable Interest Mortgage.
If anybody's interested, you can call Alan. He will come out. He'll give you an idea. You'll appraise the home, like you said. Sometimes you'll need it in a divorce or situation, or you want to know before you put the house on the market, where should I hit? Because you're the one that's going to appraise it, and they can then have a copy of that if they decide to move forward and have that on the counter for the appraiser.
Absolutely.
That helps what you're doing.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. I've been your host, Dan Muir. Have a great afternoon.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.